Video games are fun.
The Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 236. I'm here with Graham, Henry, Jeff, and Chris.
Hi, Internet.
Hello.
Snack bars.
All of you snack bars out there.
Is that the community name? They're just
snack. Now it is.
Yep. We could call them snack alcoholics or snackaholics.
Snacks.
Snack bar.
Snackaholics. I like that.
I'm gonna call them concessions.
Okay.
Sessions? I like concessions.
Well, if we are a snack bar, does that mean our content are they're the snacks? So then people would you call people who visit snack bars? Snack barers?
Overweight.
Munchers? Munchers.
Wow.
This is not going
in. Don't get me wrong, I like the idea of a snack bar.
I think we just lost all of our listeners, we'll end it here.
we can say whatever we want.
Not the episode. We'll end Snack Bar Games right
yes.
here.
This is it, That's everyone. It.
We thought we were going to make it to 10 years, but...
The apocalyptic podcast.
Close down the snack bar. Sorry, everyone. No, okay. Yeah. Everyone doing okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be better.
Yeah, I'm bracing for impact. I think last week was kind of a reminder that weeks like that happen basically 12 weeks in a row pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
So we had that like huge in August, and then September's not horrible. I think it starts to get bad around the last week or so.
This next week is kind of like the calm before the storm, because it's basically coming out. And then,
let's be honest. The first 2 months of 2013 are just going to be more of that.
Oh yeah, the first 3 months actually, probably January through March.
Well, you know, all that stuff's going to get delayed till May.
Oh okay.
Oh, don't say SimCity's getting delayed, Graham. My heart can't take it. I've been waiting so long.
Oh yeah, we're here to
get delayed.
We've announced the delay of SimCity. We need more time for development. Got to polish things up. Yeah. But, May, we'll be ready, I think, in May, yeah.
Yeah, no, that one will be out before E3. I could just imagine there's probably one of the games that just got kicked before. To Q1 that will probably get kicked to September 2014.
Oh, God.
If that happens, I'm blaming you.
I'm just going to put this out there. BioShock Infinite?
Yeah.
That name feels like a name that could go down in history as
don't one say of the that. Most
delayed games. I mean, it's right there with Duke Nukem Forever. You know,
well, then you know, that one's going to be good.
What about The Last Guardian?
Yep.
Last Guardian.
Well,
it makes me sad just thinking about it.
The last story did end up becoming basically the last story for Wii.
Unless you count Kirby Collection.
Dragon Quest X.
No, we won't play for Wii.
I feel like we're going to get Dragon Quest X.
I feel like we may get the Wii U version. I don't think we're going to
get
the Wii U version.
We'll get the Wii U version.
I think it would be different in the Wii U version.
The thing about BioShock Infinite, I just want to say, when that was announced at first, it was like, this was announced like early 2011, right? And then it was like, okay, this is coming out 2012. Or no, it was actually 2010, I think it was when it was first announced. So they said 2012, and everyone was like, all right, 2012, there's no solid release date beyond that, but they can't delay it another year because they're already announcing a release date that's so far ahead. And then, of course, they delay it until 2013, so.
Yeah.
There was an article I read online, and they said one of the gaming's biggest problems is how developers and publishers hide things from consumers all the time, and they just straight up lie about some stuff like that, and it's just impossible to know what's going on. And it doesn't matter. Like, if they told us, straight up, like, BioShock Infinite will be ready in 2014, 2 years in advance. Okay, well, that sucks, but at least, be honest with us. Don't keep saying, like, well, it's coming out, and then 2 months later, it's like, all about that. We have new people working on it. Like, you don't have to keep it a secret from us. Like, you're not.
BioShock Infinite came out 2 months ago.
Oh.
Yeah, it did. That's right. We just didn't know about it.
I missed that.
They're keeping their own game a secret from us.
I'm going to say doubt.
Well, Resident Evil 6 came out.
What? No, it
did. Did you hear about that? Did you hear about that?
Are you back from the future, Chris?
No, I'm seriously. Didn't you hear about the one, like, Norwegian retailer or something that started selling?
It was a Polish retailer.
Polish, thank you. Polish retailer that.
Yeah, that
started...
game's done.
Yeah, it's done. It's out in stores. Some guy proved it.
Yep.
Huh.
I think it's.
So
think
it's out before
much...
it's out?
Well, I mean, technically, it comes out in a month, so I'm sure it's basically done at this point. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's they've sold all those copies, and I doubt they're going to be getting any more.
Yeah.
I do think the conversation about what developers and publishers do and don't share with us is an interesting one, but I don't think we should have it right now.
Yeah. But speaking of delays and how horrible they are to people who want the games. Hey Jeff, how about we start the news with a game that has a release date?
Okay, as we mentioned before, Torchlight 2 finally has a release date of September 20th, which sort of worked out into its advantage because it managed to escape Diablo 3.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding. And this version of Torchlight has multiplayer, which the first one was lacking. People are very excited about that.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of strange because, you know, I know we'd talked on the podcast before about how if Torchlight didn't get out before Diablo 3, it was kind of going to be over because everybody would be playing Diablo 3. But Diablo 3 did, like, just bad enough where people kind of want to move on to something else.
Well,
this is good timing for them. I think they definitely have a good chance now.
I think plus a lot of people were burned by Diablo 3. I mean, it sold well, and the initial reaction was super positive for the most part. Outside, you know, the whole can't play the game during the launch, you know.
Yeah, Diablo 3 was a very good game, but I think it just didn't have something that the previous games in the series did, and people just didn't stick with it longer than a month or two.
Right,
a soul.
Yeah,
soul is what it is lacking.
And, you know, Jeff, your entry in the My Favorite Game series is running this weekend. And you kind of talk in that one about how, you know, 3 was a good game, but, like, isn't really one. Like, it misses just enough to where people aren't necessarily sticking with it as the thing that they consume their life with for months and months and months.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was a good game, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as the second one was when it came out.
Yeah,
I have a magazine in my bathroom that says top 9 games of 2009, and Diablo 3 is on the front cover. And I thought, you know, if Diablo 3 was released in 2009, it probably would have been considered one of the best games ever. It was 2009, Diablo 3 probably would have been amazing. In 2012, not as much.
Yeah,
it's all about the timing.
There are a lot of games like that, especially I know there have been some. Some games that have hit here lately that were Japanese games and took a while to be localized and probably missed their moment in the sun.
Yep.
But we won't to Xenoblade and the Last Story again.
Yeah.
Would have been great games of 2009 and 2010 or whatever. But
there's a lot of games that are coming out now still on PSP in Japan that will likely not see the light of day over here.
Oh, yeah. Sad. All right. While we continue to mourn the PSP, Jeff, what else you got?
Steam Greenlight is currently live.
Yeah.
Name.
You know,
I don't know what that is. Somebody explain it to me.
It's a service on Steam that allows publishers and developers to put their game up for release on Steam.
Yep.
And the Steam community, through voting, decides which games end up on the service.
Wow.
It's a really, really good excuse for random people without any, like, talent or ideas to send press releases to people who run game sites. I thought Kickstarter was bad.
So far. From what I've seen from... Sorry, can...
There's a few issues with the Greenlight service. Namely, you don't actually have to be a developer or publisher to put a game on it.
Yep.
There are a lot of clones and jokes and trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it's sort of like Xbox Live indie games right now. I mean, by the quality of the actual games.
Except
I mean,
they don't
some
actually
of them
need a game.
Yeah, they don't need. I've seen some that are just like placeholders. Like, let's see how many votes this empty space can get.
Yeah. There are definitely some where there was one where, I mean, people keep getting them pulled down, but I think somebody had put on, like GTA 5. Like, you don't own GTA 5. You just put a logo for GTA 5 there. Like, I don't.
There's about 12 good games.
Yeah.
Like 100 Minecraft clones.
Do we want to talk about the good games in there that probably deserve some attention?
I can mention one that I actually just played through recently. It's a game called The Real Texas, which I didn't get to talk about because I was absent when that game came out, but I played a bit of it, and it's, I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but everyone should look it up and watch the trailer, and that will kind of give you an idea of what to expect from that. It's kind of really bizarre game, but it's like Zelda meets Ultima meets a point and click adventure. It's really interesting. And then also Kickstarter just succeeded as a Kickstarter, which was a new Gianna Sisters game. I think it's
I was just about to mention that. That looks really good from what I saw from the screenshots.
Yeah,
that's the one I actually want to see succeed.
Is it just me, or does that game have an aesthetic that feels like more like more playful, but kind of a very lush aesthetic, much like Trine and Trine 2? Like very shiny, kind of, yeah.
I think Trine 2 was even shinier than Trine 1, and I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
Super shiny.
But you know what I prefer? I prefer shiny and colorful to grays and browns any day of the week.
Yeah,
I guess it depends on the game. It depends on the game, I guess, but I like colorful things.
Then you should check out Project Gianna, because there's even a playable demo, I think. I haven't tried it, but...
And after that, you should check out Bastion, because...
Oh, I have played Bastion.
You should check out Bastion well before that.
In fact, now I am going to quit this podcast and go play Bastion again.
You should check out Bastion a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bastion was great.
Just keep, whatever, keep checking out Bastion. But there were a couple other games I saw on Steam Greenlight that may be worth looking at. Sean right now is actually reviewing the game for us, but there's a PC port of Mutant Muds, the 3DS eShop game from Renegade Kid that kind of has much like you were talking about last week, Andrew, that it has that retro aesthetic, but then it also kind of pulls it off in the right way.
Yeah.
Goes like super Mega Man style, like audio and visuals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That one's worth checking out. I'm trying to, there were definitely like the first like 30 or so that Steam let in so they'd be live when the service went live were pretty good. And then,
I believe the initial games on this service were games that Steam had already been talking with the publishers about.
Yeah. Yep.
Before we move on, I just want to say one thing about Steam, not Steam Greenlight, but everyone knows I love To the Moon, and just announced today that To the Moon coming to Steam on September 7th.
Sweet.
It's coming Friday.
I've been waiting for that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be the next item, because people had mentioned, why isn't To the Moon in Steam Greenlight, and it's because it's been released.
Yeah, it's coming to Steam on September 7th. Everyone should play it. No one has an excuse now.
And more than that, Andrew, you want to say the second part of that news today?
The fact that there's two things I'm thinking of right now, so I hope I say the right thing.
Okay.
The first part is that episode 2 is coming.
Right.
The sequel. And then also, if you bought To the Moon from Freebird Games website, you get a Steam code for free. So there's that. But yeah. The second game is coming.
Mainly sequel.
Sequel, yes. It was kind of hinted at the end of the first game, but the sequel is being worked on, and I cannot wait.
I find that sequels get hinted at, but not made all the time.
True, but I think the creator, Can Dao, he basically said that, there's going to be a sequel.
Yep.
Pretty much shortly after the game came out. But anyway, everyone check out.
Yeah. This is the time of year where you're seeing a lot of stuff hit Steam. We've been covering some of it, both like games that weren't on Steam but were PC games finally hitting Steam and like people noticing them. Like we've been covering like Book of Unwritten Tales did that.
Tales, a couple months ago, Sword and Sorcery.
Right.
Really, really well done game. Stuff yeah. like that.
But then like there have been, ports from other systems that have been a little strange. Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack hit.
Does anybody know if that version is actually any good?
I
don't know. I played the Vita version, and I really enjoyed the Vita version.
Yeah.
I know they added some extra levels, so there are probably some cool things.
That is a great game.
Yeah. And then also Clawdoon X2?
That came out of nowhere.
And like seriously, like the announcement for that was like 8 hours after it had been on Steam, and everybody's like, wait, Nipponichi is now publishing things on Steam? When did that happen?
Probably following on XSEED's footsteps.
Well, they should do it.
Yeah.
Because that makes a lot of money for those people. So
it does.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, the PCs really start for JRPGs, so why not?
Yeah. Everybody got really desperate and bought The Last Remnant in the Steam sale, so
they I did too.
That game's okay.
I haven't played it, but I've heard everyone hates it.
I am the one person that doesn't hate it. So
I know Steam it's better. Sales.
You can't resist them.
Yeah, I know it's better on PC than on 360.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes, but, definitely.
And it came out on 360 first. So. Yeah.
This game's only $2. You're losing money by not buying it. Okay, good point, Steam.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love rationalization.
Wait,
anyway.
My friend doesn't have this game, too? Well, better buy it for him.
Exactly.
Oh,
buy a 14-pack.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, more news.
In other downloadable services, the Vita finally has PS1 games.
Some.
It's about time.
So, originally, there were only 9.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have had this at launch?
It should have been there at launch,
Remember 2 weeks ago when we said, hey, Sony's been good for a week, right? Here we go. back to good old Sony. The Sony we remember. I mean, at first there were some that you could still transfer, but they weren't like official.
Yeah. Well, at first, before the PlayStation Store update, when they put out the firmware but didn't update the store, the only things you could get were like these few PS1 imports because they'd flipped the switch with Japan, and I think in some way like those were still tied to their Japanese store entries or something like that. So I could put like Desaimon Kids on there for some reason, but I couldn't put anything else.
Why would you not want to?
Oh gosh, that game. But yeah, so they quickly later in the week put out, I think, was it around 60 or so more? Still not the full list that other
more
countries are getting. But
they pretty much started just putting those games that you could transfer from a PS3 onto the store.
Yeah, not all of them, but some of them.
And didn't Europe get like over 100?
Europe got like all of them.
Yeah.
Although, like two of them that aren't compatible or something still aren't compatible.
Yeah,
like,
but I'm sure they'll be there eventually,
Like Pocket Fighter, I think. Yeah. That wasn't ever compatible with the PSP anyway.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why that was.
No idea. But anyway, so
does it take a lot of effort to actually make these games available for a new system?
I don't.
Well, you'd be surprised. They've obviously programmed licensing issues.
Yeah, but
they work on the
PSP.
Like, yeah.
Pretty much all of them. So, I mean. Yeah. What is the hold up here?
They've obviously programmed the Vita to be able to play these games. So if you have a new system, and obviously there's a lot of entertainment options out there that are begging people for their money instead of yours, I don't understand how you can't at launch say, here are 100 PlayStation titles that are available for download for very cheap right off the bat. How do you not have that? How do you possibly think it's a good idea to launch without something like that?
I mean, that really increases the viability.
Yeah, but
number of available games, and that's really the Vita's problem at this point.
They're well, Sony, that's why.
Yeah, I think we'll get back to talking about the Vita later, but
become a trend with handhelds. I mean, the 3DS launched without a store whatsoever.
I'm just saying maybe they wouldn't have all these problems with like piracy of people like pirating, you know, hundreds or thousands of like games and hacking their systems and having ROMs on their thing, because that's probably, in all honesty, a lot easier doing all that than not having all these games they want available for download for like $5 a piece.
Yeah.
I don't buy that people won't buy that stuff. I mean, look at iTunes. They've sold friggin' 2 billion songs online, and you can still pirate music, so I don't buy that people won't buy, you know, won't do it. I think the service sucks.
So video games. Skyrim.
Yeah, back to video games.
Yes. Skyrim. Hearthfire has been announced as the next DLC pack.
Everyone can start a family
and build a house.
If you play a lot of Skyrim, but what you really wanted was for it to be Fable, then now you have that.
There are at least 3 people out there who wanted that. So this is for them.
I'd say at least
3. Molyneux is seething in rage right now.
he's probably working on the next best game of all time or something like that.
No, he left Blindhead, so he's not Fable guy
anymore.
Oh,
that's right, he did. Yeah,
right. So he's working on Curiosity.
Yeah, but still, he still considers
Curiosity what's
he makes
inside the box.
Maybe he's making something in the kitchen for dinner and be like, "This is the greatest pizza of all time."
Yeah, you know, like I wouldn't want to be at a dinner.
You'll be able to build a pizza with Kinect.
Yeah, all the things he says will technically be true, but underwhelming.
Did anyone else play? I know we reviewed. What was the first DLC for Skyrim? I'm drawing a blank. Dawnguard.
Dawnguard.
Yeah. How did you guys? I know at least one of you played that. How did you mind that one?
Yeah, Jeff.
That would be me. I enjoyed it. If you're interested in more Skyrim, it's worth picking up.
A lot of people.
I feel like I've had enough of Skyrim. Like I played crap out of it, and then I'm just at the end. It's just one of those things where it's like I need to stop now. The world is awesome, and I think it's really cool they're doing DLC. But I probably won't get this.
If you're done with Skyrim, I don't think DLC is going to bring you back.
Yeah, especially not this new DLC, because it's like I don't know who this appeals to. Again, besides those 3 people who wanted it to be fake.
This is becoming Skyrim. Why didn't we make this an MMO?
Aren't they making an MMO?
They are. They are.
Mm-hmm. It seems. I don't know.
Well, now you have a virtual family. You can shout it.
Yeah, at the very least, this is only a $5 expansion. They know it's not.
Send them flying off like rag dolls after you shout.
Yeah.
Is it only Graham? Is it only $5?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Dawnguard was a huge expansion, but this.
Yeah, that was.
I like that price, man. I think I know a lot of people condemn DLC. Like for me, day one DLC, you know, obviously with Mass Effect 3, people were pissed. But I think this kind of DLC is the right kind of DLC. You know, it doesn't cost very much. You know, it's not like changing the whole structure of the game. So if you don't buy this, you're not enjoying it. I think it's a fair price. I think that's a good deal.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff.
Good job. Good job, Bethesda.
Okay. Now for something completely different. Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, I mean, Square Enix sucks. I'm just kidding. I'm really excited about this because I love the first two.
I just want to point out, there's an image out there of Lightning holding a copy of Final Fantasy 13 at a GameStop and returning it, and that's the Lightning Returns.
Oh, that's great.
Like her own game.
Yeah, okay, that's all I have to say about this game. But
I love 13.
The third entry in Lightning's story, and supposedly the final one.
Yeah, I don't get why this game isn't called Final Fantasy 13-3. Like, because why?
Because that would just be silly.
I have a feeling that title may not be final, but Square Enix is Square Enix.
It's stupid. It should be called Final Fantasy 13-3, because that's what it is.
Yeah, but, I know a lot of people hate the Lightning Returns : Final Fantasy, and it should be Final Fantasy 13 : Lightning Returns. Yeah. That would make more sense, but
yeah.
I still like that name better than 13-3.
I think the name might be changing, but this is the company that gave us the Ed Rhythm, so you never know.
They always do this.
The game is being called Lightning Returns?
Lightning Returns.
That means that they care more about this, though.
Oh. Okay, I'm not going to get mad.
I'm not going to get mad or whatever. And they do actually Final Fantasy.
I might get mad, boys. I hate when they name stuff like that. Oh.
Well, see, here's my thing.
Of course, they're going to name stuff like that.
Well, here's my thing.
They're
going to
name stuff Final Fantasy.
I'm okay if they name it whatever they want. Before we got to this like sequelitis thing, that happened all the time. Like Metal Gear and then Snake's Revenge and stuff like that. But like, my problem is that they named 13-2 13-2. And that was the time where they could have decided to do different naming convention.
Yeah.
But then they did the numbers, right, and they abandoned the numbers.
Yeah, though this news.
So your problem is more with consistency.
Yes.
Okay.
This I agree with Graham. Well, the thing is with numbering, what it boils down to is sort of canon, right? So if I see a game in a series that has a number after it, then I know that's sort of like the main course, right? It's the entree. It's the main storyline, or even if they're not connected, like the Final Fantasies, this is our big kahuna, Final Fantasy IX. If they want to make a side one that maybe isn't quite as epic or not as expensive or doesn't have the full team behind it, that's fine. You can call it Final Fantasy colon something something, like Chocobo Tales or
Revenant
Crisis
Wings.
Core or something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So when you're naming it Final Fantasy 13, I'm like, okay, and now 13-2, I know 13-2 is sort of part of 13's canon. But when you call it Lightning Returns, like, it's just like Graham says, it's just a matter of consistency. Yeah. I know it won't change the quality of the game, but that bothers me.
Let's remember I'm a this nerd. Did come from. This did
How
come
am
from,
I going to stack these on my shelf?
How am I going to organize these?
It does mess up that like alphabetical order. It's an issue.
Let's talk about the actual game. Are you guys excited for 13?
Sorry, Jeff. What were you saying? I wanted to get to you because you've been trying to talk for like 5 minutes now.
Well, sorry, Jeff. This whole thing came from a Japanese stream that was translated basically by gaming media.
Yeah. So, I mean, at first everyone thought, oh, this is just like, they're not actually calling it this, but it seems like they've stuck with that name so far anyway. They haven't corrected anyone.
The only other thing that bothers me, because I love 13, I love 13-2, I'm a big fan, I know it gets a lot of criticism, and I understand those criticisms, but the only thing that bothers me is that I wish that I sort of wish there wasn't DLC for Final Fantasy 13-2 if they sort of knew there was going to be a third game anyway. Like, especially since I'm pretty sure the DLC sort of, doesn't it contribute in some way to the non-ending of 2?
I don't think so. I think all the DLC is either costume packs or it just kind of adds, like, re-adds different characters. Like, there is one scenario.
But there's some stuff in the casino where it said content not ready yet, and there should never be in any game something that you can go up to and it says, oh, sorry, you have to buy this at DLC or content not ready yet. Don't give me that. If you want to make a third game, a third expansion, that's fine. But
it was never really a part of like the main. As far as I understand, it's never really part of the main story. It's just all optional stuff. It was like the casino stuff was all with Saz, and then there was a Lightning DLC, but it didn't really contribute to the story that much. Yeah, I mean, it had its own little mini story, but it was
there was a mechanic in the game involving the Colosseum that allowed you to get other characters as party members, but it wasn't storyline related.
But are you guys excited for 13-3? Like, are you? Did you like 13 and 13-2? Does it warrant a third one in the series?
Well, I never played 13-2. I did not like 13 that much. It was okay. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but looking back on it, I was like, yeah, it's not far from my favorite. So I get that people are excited, and I'm glad that they are actually going to have some kind of conclusion, considering how 13-2 ended, at least from what I heard.
Yeah,
but, non-ended, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's good, and I think the Lightning Returns thing is kind of their way of saying, yeah, you know how we advertised 13-2 with Lightning on the cover and with Lightning, like the first trailer had Lightning, and there was just like, this is another game with Lightning, and then she's not in the game at all.
She's not in the game, yeah.
Yeah, so they kind of want to be like, okay.
Well, she is in the game, but not.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you don't
not
play
like
as her, focus. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like now it's going back to Lightning. So it's like, we want to make sure you know this. This is definitely Lightning's game this time. Trust us.
I think they spent enough time and development and money on the engine and the battle system, and I thought it was actually really good that I'm pleased. But they probably looked at it and be like, okay, we got to milk this a little bit more because this is obviously bigger than just one game. So
yeah.
I know they're saying the battle system will be slightly tweaked, but the main engine they have, to me, is great. And most of the people I heard complaining about the game, the battle system and sort of the graphics were not high on the list of people's complaints. They were high on the list of praises. So it makes sense that they're going to – and maybe they'll try something new. I think they mentioned it might be more open world, which was what they tried with 2. So I think that's I'm okay with that direction as well.
And you mentioned reusing an engine for another game. And I have never had an issue with that. I think the game industry has shown that those games are often – some of the best games because they don't worry about building an engine. They just worry about building a game. We could talk about Majora's Mask. kind of the first big example. I mean,
yeah.
Like, as far as like building a big 3D engine and then reusing it, that feels like the first real example of like, right, yeah, you built another adventure in here.
From, there's nothing wrong with reusing an engine.
Yeah.
Especially if the engine's really versatile. I mean, you've seen the Unreal Engine, the Quake Engine, the
Unreal Engine be used by a ton of games, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and then it just leads to more development time for, you know, story and characters and game design and stuff like that. And I think it's great.
Yeah, I think with broader things with like the Unreal Engine, that's just kind of like a build, like you build a game in it.
Yeah.
But like
yeah.
as far as a full like game world engine with all of your assets and all of your like, we don't need to build Link, we don't need to make these little heart icons again, kind of thing, and just like just reuse all of your assets. Go ahead, reuse all of your assets, please. Yeah.
Generally makes the game better.
Yeah. Anyway.
Usually. Sometimes it does.
As long as it's not lazy, which, you know, sometimes it is, but that mediocre games get worse. Good games get better, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, Jeff, you got to say one more thing, and then we'll move on.
Yeah. Final item, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes announced at PAX.
Andrew, I know you're very excited.
Cannot wait. They showed the first gameplay to the public yesterday at PAX, and then they released it a few hours later. It looks incredible. When the trailer cuts to from the cutscene to in engine, just like this is just flat out amazing.
People had to rewatch that to see when it happens because it's
so
really
subtle.
Hard to notice.
Yeah, it's so subtle.
Andrew, as someone who has beaten 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and I wouldn't say I've been a huge fan, but I have beat all 4 and I enjoyed all 4 of them, particularly number 4. So I'm sort of, I would say, a casual Metal Gear fan. Why should I be excited about Ground Zeroes?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because we really don't know that much information. First of all, play Peace Walker. If you want to actually know what's going on,
I've heard it's really good. Yeah,
it is. It's a good game. You can get it from the HD collection, or you could just download it. I think you could download it for the Vita too, if you want. I'm not sure about.
Yeah, the PSP version. Yeah.
It's not on the Vita HD collection. Because,
yeah, it's not on the Vita HD because you could just download that. But whatever, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Either way, you can get a great version of that game, and it kind of what they were saying in the trailer indicated that this is like a straight up follow up from Peace Walker. So. If you kind of want to know what's going on with the story, which, you know, if it's Metal Gear, you probably want to know what's going on in the story at least a little bit, unless the story just is nonsensical, which it could also be. It's Metal Gear. Either way, it's Metal Gear, so you should. But in terms of gameplay, we don't really know that much, except that it's going to be more open world again, like what we're just talking about with the new Final Fantasy 13.
Okay.
It seems to focus on it's basically the same kind of gameplay, just set in a bigger setting, from what we can tell.
Is it multiplayer as well?
I don't think so. I don't think they've they confirmed very little about it, except that it's more open world and it looks amazing.
Kojima said it is the prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, it's apparently going to be the
it's not 5.
It's technically not.
No, it's not 5. It's between 4 and 5.
Yeah, but
I'm really curious about how they're going to handle the whole open world thing. I mean, open world and stealth just feel like two really contradictory things.
Well,
I'm curious.
As far as I know, it's never really been done before.
MGS4 kind of did it a little. I mean, it was still it was a very closed off area for like the first two acts, but it was still
did open up.
Yeah, it's a battlefield. Yeah. You can kind of approach the situations in different ways. I think this is kind of like you get this entire base to explore. And
like Assassin's Creed came pretty close as far as, you know, world. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I think in some ways Hitman kind of does that too, but that's more about how you approach the different kills, not so much how you explore the areas, but
this is being released for PS3 and PC?
PS3, 360 and PC. Well, actually no.
And 360,
PC version is not confirmed.
PC.
Yeah, but everyone says that what they showed is probably a PC version because chances are that is not going to look nearly as
looking
good.
Looking at the graphics that they showed in that video, I don't think there's any console that could make that. Right
I mean, right now, Well,
that's what I said. It looks if the PS3 and the 360 can do that, no wonder people aren't really clamoring for new systems.
But I think the version for those systems will be slightly less.
That's not uncommon for them to be like, yes, this game looks great because I think, but it's the PC version, right? Didn't they show what was the big hit at E3 this year?
Watch Dogs.
And of course, there's no way that wasn't anything but on a high end PC.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all of the Ubisoft games except probably Rayman Legends at E3 were all PC versions.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Like, that was PC version of Assassin's Creed 3 everywhere. That too, probably.
Yeah. If there's a PC version of Zombie U, I don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
But anyway, but it seems like this is the game that's going to lead into the next-gen Metal Gear. Like, this is going to come out for current-gen consoles and PC, probably. And then when the next PS3 or the next PlayStation, next Xbox come out, we'll see MGS5, you know, taking full advantage of this engine they've built, which is, I can't remember I think it's just called the Fox engine.
Yeah.
It's a brand new engine. Yeah. And it looks incredible. So I'm sure once we actually see that on new consoles, it'll look even better. So.
Very cool. So I have one issue.
Say that...
Yes.
I always thought the plural was Ground Zero.
Well,
like attorneys general.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to understand that this is Kojima and he does what he wants.
Yes.
Grammar has no place in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, he just, you know what?
You're right.
I bet it was originally called Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero, and then he's like, nope, zeros. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation.
Yeah, speaking of end of conversation, how about we end the news conversation and get into talking about games, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do it. Video games.
Sounds great.
Video games are fun.
Yep. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Let's talk about games.
I've been playing Rock Band Blitz.
Yeah. No, you have not.
Yeah,
yeah, prove it.
Since when?
Get out of here.
Okay. See ya.
No. Come back. Tell us about Rock Band Blitz, Andrew.
Rock Band Blitz is the most bizarre game Harmonix has ever made, but it's also the most... It's the most bizarre game Harmonix has ever made, because I'm going to attempt to explain it.
Well, hold up. Are we counting Dance Central 3 in that?
Well, I guess Dance Central 3 is bizarre in its story mode, which I think is also...
Yeah, because you time travel to dance, and they based a move off of a like random educational video from West Virginia.
Yes, because of Giant Bomb, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway...
That seems like the kind of thing that they would do.
Yes.
But in terms of mechanics,
okay.
This is a strange game because it's kind of like.
Also, are we counting VidRhythm?
Oh yeah, I forgot that existed.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. Okay.
So second, possibly third weirdest game that Harmonix has ever made.
Yes, okay. One of those. Okay, so when you first hear about this game, you think, oh, this is just, you know, like Frequency or Amplitude or Rock Band Unplugged on the PSP, which was a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
For a Rock Band game that didn't actually use the instruments, it was okay. And that's what I thought at first, but no, it's kind of its own thing. And I'm going to attempt to explain the mechanics, but okay. I'm going to stumble over myself a few times here because...
Well, just don't get up. Just stay seated.
Okay. So I don't. Okay. All right. Yeah. That would be funny if I... Okay. It's basically you have five lanes, each representing the different instruments. So you have guitar, bass, vocals, drums, and keyboard.
Okay.
And each has two rows, two notes per lane.
Yep.
And you have to hit the notes, you get combos, and your multiplier goes up on that lane. And then you have to switch to different lanes and get those multipliers up. And then you pass these checkpoints. And if all of your multipliers are higher than the standard, which is one time at first, and then it goes to four times, and then... six times, whatever. If it's above the default, then you will level up basically, and then your multiplier can go higher. And you're basically trying to swap between the different lanes as fast as possible to get all of them up to the highest multiplier possible, so you can continue to get, you know, higher and higher scores. And this game is all about scores. You know, with the other Rock Band games, it was all about, you know, kind of. It was about scores, but it was more about like kind
music.
Yeah, it was about music, and it was about, you know, getting good with these plastic instruments, which I have a couple of friends who got like serious into this. I have one friend who bought the Pro Guitar. He was like, I am dedicated to Rock Band. That didn't last very long, but you know, he was there. So so he bought Rock Band Blitz and was like completely baffled by it, because it was such a different game. Of course, he knew that it wasn't, you know, like Rock Band. He knew it was kind of different, but it just completely confused him at first. And it's understandable because there's so much at work here. So, yeah, so it's all about scores, all about, you know, starting score wars, topping your friend's scores. The game is very good about telling you, hey, your friend has this score. Do you want to try to beat him? It always, when you start the game, it always says your friend challenged you to a score war, things like that. So you want to try to keep each lane leveled up A certain make sure your levels continue to get higher, your multipliers. And
so if I like rock music, but not going to have fun, like if it's not my idea of fun to belittle others and their skill, but I like music anyway, this may not be my game.
Well, no, I like the score aspect of it, but I'm not that kind of person who cares about score either. Like, I care about scores because I want to get like 5 stars on songs. That, you know, that matters to me, but not so much like, oh, I beat my friend's score and I'm going to brag about it. I'm not that kind of person either.
You're saying is that your friends are beating your scores.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sounds like this game would make a really great arcade game. I mean, obviously arcades are dead, but still.
It probably would, actually. But yeah, I mean, if you have a lot of DLC, if you have a lot of Rock Band DLC, then you probably don't play much anymore. Because, you know,
yeah, that's probably an important thing to mention is how the DLC works in this game.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you can use all of the DLC for from Rock Band 1, 2, and 3, and all the imports from, like, Green Day Rock Band and Lego Rock Band and stuff. Except for Rock Band 3, because that hasn't imported. But you can pretty much use all of the songs you've bought and cultivated over the years for Rock Band Blitz, which is pretty much the reason to get this game. Like, yeah. The 20 so songs they include are fine. It's a decent set list, you know. It's a lot of variety, but that's not going to, you know, you're going to get bored of those 20 songs really quickly. So it's a great game to get if you have a lot of DLC to play, and the mechanics are interesting and can be a little like confusing at first, but once you get the hang of it, it's actually a pretty simple game.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to know that those 25 songs, I think, are totally playable in Rock Band if you still play Rock Band.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you just don't like Blitz, think of it as a 20 songs for $15.
Yeah, I mean, not all the songs will win everyone over. Like, you know, if you're not a big Kelly Clarkson fan, or you really hate moves like Jagger, like me, you will probably not like all of the songs. But there's enough here that, you know, there's enough good songs here that you know, it'll be a worthy purchase if you're just looking to import these songs into a Rock Band 3 and play those with actual, you know, plastic instruments. But, you know, if you do buy it for that reason, you should still check out the game, because you might find some interesting mechanics, and you know, maybe you'll become one of those people who, yeah, I want to beat my friend's scores. It's on, you know. Also, there's Facebook integration, but I don't have a Facebook account, so I could not try that out. So.
Sorry, but it's still cracked up that you don't have a Facebook account.
Well, hey,
you're that guy.
I'm the guy. Twitter. I'm all about Twitter.
Yeah, hey, we're all about Twitter.
We're all about Twitter.
Yeah, we love Twitter.
I'm only sort of about Twitter.
We kind of should about Facebook, but
should,
mostly about
you should be more about Twitter.
Yes, you should follow us at Snack Bar Games. You should follow our community account at SBG Community. Brad does a really good job of keeping track of all the conversations we have, and we like talking to you. So come talk to us about games and stuff.
We do, and also tell us how you're beating our scores in Rock Band Blitz. That'd be good if you could somehow figure that out. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, back from commercial.
I was also playing, just finished last week, Sleeping Dogs. Or
Sleepy Dogs.
Sleepy Dogs, you know.
It's a better game.
That's what the cool kids call it.
Yep.
Yeah, that is someone who was for a brief period of time was kind of burnt out on open world games. Or at least open world games that are like GTA, you know.
This is basically that. But
yeah, well, yeah, basically. Sandbox.
Well, did you know that, I think Yahtzee mentioned this in his review, that this was actually supposed to be the next entry in the True Crime series?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was originally
Hong Kong. It was originally not, and then it was.
And then
it was canceled, and then it wasn't and isn't.
Well, first off, Square Enix did the right thing by picking this game up, because it was basically finished when they did.
Yeah.
And also, it is a really well-done open-world game. For people who may not be interested in that genre or are kind of sick of it, should still check it out, because, truth be told, the genre is kind of like, if we're counting open-world action game as a genre, it's kind of dried up aside from maybe a couple of releases here and there, like the new Rockstar game and then whatever other, you know, similar game comes out. Like last year we had Saints Row.
Right.
Stuff like that. So if you're kind of sick of that, but you know, you still want
more of it.
Yeah, if you're sick of it, but you might want more of it. Yeah, Sleeping Dogs is the best non-GTA open world game I have ever played. I'm gonna put that out.
Wow. Whoa. You're saying better than Saints Row?
Wow. Yes, I liked it better than Saints Row the Third, but this is, again, people love Saints Row the Third because of its over the top goofiness. And again,
zany.
Yeah, it is zany. Yeah. I love that game, but it kind of mechanically felt not as solid, like in terms of writing, humor, story, you know, and just the variety of missions you got, it nailed those. But just in terms of the actual shooting mechanics and the actual driving mechanics, they were fine, but they weren't like above and beyond. Like Sleeping Dogs for me goes above and beyond in most regards. Like the fighting system, it copies, you know, Batman, Arkham Asylum, and Arkham City. Let's just put that out there. It basically takes that system.
Yeah.
But a bad thing to copy something.
Yeah, there are really great things about
if you're
the
gonna,
melee.
If
you're going to make a third-person game where you fight more than one guy at a time, just take that system. It's
exactly.
The best thing.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It feels like it feels even like, you know, how Batman's all about breaking bones and stuff, but he's not about killing. So Sleeping Dogs is kind of like, okay, so we're going to take that and just make it a little more brutal. And by a little more brutal, I mean you can shove people's heads into fans and throw them onto knee hooks and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely way more violent than Batman, but
yeah,
it kind of adds to the feel of that combat and like how it's like a Hong Kong action film. And in the combat, you know, in those movies, you see the one hero taking on 12 guys at once. Yeah. And of course he's going to win because he's the hero. Sure. He'll get down a few times, but
I think probably the only thing that I would have wanted more from that game is a Cantonese voice track.
Yeah. Some people seem to think that, like, I guess I get that. Cause it's, again, it's a fairly authentic,
just for the total Kung Fu movie.
Yeah.
Feel.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, I wish there was some kind of, like, I think Assassin's Creed has a full-on Italian, like the Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood had a full-on Italian voice track. So for people who wanted to go for full authenticity, you know, they had that. But I don't think, you know, Sleeping Dogs could have done something like that. But it's they do throw in Cantonese words every now and again. And, you know, in a way,
yeah,
it feels authentic.
Yeah,
there's something to be said for keeping a consistent aesthetic throughout a game. And that goes for everything that makes up a game, and music is one of the key components, so it is a bit curious as to why they decided not to do that.
Well, I mean, there are characters in the game that just flat out are not from Hong Kong and they speak English, so there's that.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to make it, like, kind of blend together, but there's...
As a general rule, like, the main characters that do most of the talking will be in English, and
basically,
a lot of the side characters and atmosphere will be in Cantonese.
Yeah, I mean, if that matters to you, it might bother you at first, but you know, the voice acting is really good still. So, like the main character's voice actor, I don't know his name, but he did a fantastic job with his performance. And they have, you know, some big name stars like Tom Wilkinson and Emma Stone and Lucy Liu in there. So, the voice cast is great. The voice acting is great. I guess in terms of authenticity, it would have been nice if they went, you know, full Cantonese, but it's not a deal breaker for me, at least. But like in terms of the actual atmosphere, Hong Kong, they nail Hong Kong perfectly from what I can tell. You know, the city streets, it's fun to navigate through them. It looks gorgeous, and listening to Cantonese Chinese radio stations is interesting. Like it's definitely different enough from GTA where I don't feel like I need to turn off the radio. So, I mean, cool. It's a lot of fun. It's the combat is the best part. It can be, like, the variety is not there, like, especially in the last half of the game that gets into more shootery parts. Shootery. That's not a word.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. There's a lot more shooting involved. And the shooting's fine, but it's not, like, there are certain on-rail sections where you're like, in the passenger seat of a car, and you're basically shooting down motorcycles and other cars that are trying to ram you off the road. And, you know, it's kind of cool the first time you do it, then the fifth time you do it, a little...
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that I sort of got tired of in GTA games.
Yeah, I mean,
which is why I like Sleeping Dogs, because it isn't all that, which GTA generally was.
The first half of Sleeping Dogs is pretty much basically maybe like one or two missions involving gunplay, but most of it is just combat and driving. So, I mean, and again, the gunplay is fine, it just kind of focuses a little too heavily on it and not on the strengths of the, you know, the actual core of the mechanics of the game that really work, like I said, the hand-to-hand combat. So that's a shame that they kind of don't go with a little more variety. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think that's one small drawback, and those missions are really not that long. So they go by fast, and before you know it, you're back to, you know, throwing people into dumpster into slamming their heads into car doors, you know.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, but
okay.
Very good game. If you can get any version, I'd say the PC version is probably the best because that game looks freaking amazing on PC. And I didn't play the PC version myself.
Yeah, that's just this part of a console generation where the PC will pull ahead for a while.
For the most part, I know people complain about like some PC ports being not as great as the console versions because they don't take full advantage of the current PC hardware and stuff. But Sleeping Dogs definitely feels like a really true to form PC game that is also on consoles. So
Okay. Cool.
Graham, you've been playing Madden.
I've been playing a lot of Madden.
Know you were a football guy.
Well, I mean, I'm an everything guy.
Cool.
Yeah. Except for first person shooters and hockey. Sorry. I tried so both.
Jeff, it's okay. Jeff, just stay in your seat. It's okay. Let's keep going.
I understand it. I just probably not qualified to review it.
What about so a first-person hockey game? That's completely out of the question, then.
No, see, there's no shooting there.
Maybe if it gets really rowdy.
People are shooting pucks at you.
Yeah, exactly.
I could have probably reviewed Slapshot for the Wii. That was pretty much a first-person hockey game. Yeah, because you had like a hockey stick controller.
I feel like this episode all about games I forgot that existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. All right. So Madden.
Graham, how's Madden?
It's not bad. Either version. So I reviewed the console version and the Vita version. And I'll go ahead and get the Vita version out of the way by saying that it's basically like kind of Madden 10 or 11 console versions. Somewhere around there is roughly how it ends up feeling, but that's way better than anything a portable football game has ever been.
Yeah, you said basically it's the best portable Madden game today.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a low bar. But, maybe the previous owner of that title was maybe like an iOS version of something. I don't know. Like maybe. Portable football games have been horrendous, but this one's solid. They did shoehorn in the console Madden engine, and you know the Vita isn't quite as powerful as like the 360 and PS3. It's almost there, but you can kind of tell when it has like an unoptimized multi-platform engine on it that it's not too happy. But it's all right. Basically, they're the only like real Vita function, I should say, is that you can like draw routes for receivers with your finger on the screen before the play, and that works really well. So.
I'm sure we'll be seeing that. I'm pretty sure that's going to be in the Wii U version as well.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. And that functionality has also been on the Wii with like pointer controls, but it just wasn't very accurate.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, they never really put the move in. I don't know if they did anything with Kinect, but anyway.
They did. I think they did this year. I think they showed it off at Microsoft's conference, but it was basically just calling plays.
Right. They have voice controls. And I was going to say that I reviewed the PS3 version, but I had tested out the Kinect controls before. Basically you just say words. it's not a big deal. but with the console versions of Madden, they've really revamped the engine this time. They've put in the Infinity Engine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's an engine that'll last forever, right?
Yeah, it's lasted since 1999.
Okay.
So it
sounds like a good engine.
Yeah. So BioWare developed the new Madden. should mention that. It's a fantasy RPG Madden.
Man, I would play that.
No, it's just the dumbest thing that because they own
the NFL theme. It's a battle song. The battle music.
They own BioWare, so they did the other Infinity Engine. So it's weird that they did that again. But the idea of it is that basically they made Backbreaker.
They made Backbreaker, but good?
The whole idea behind Backbreaker was instead of having pre-canned animations, it simulated the physics of the human body as the people like collide so that it looks realistic. So that's what they did with this, except for they put it in Madden. It works all right. There's still some dumb points where it's like, why is my running back like trying to power through the back of the center? Like there's not gonna be a hole come through the center that you can run through. So there's still a little weird stuff like that where the simulation isn't quite right, but it works.
At least he didn't actually run through the center. And That would I think it's a the better problem to have.
We need Blitz the League back. no, we don't. But so the other big thing with the new Madden is that they're doing connected careers, and
not connected as in the Kinect.
Right, though that's in the 360 version. But basically, so they've had online like franchises before where you could like get together with your friends and like, okay, we're playing week one this week, so you just meet up sometime with your opponent and you play through the game and like there's a season and things go through like that. So they've done that, but they've like you can run a franchise or you can do what used to be kind of the superstar mode where you can just play as a player. And you can like mix with people in your league. So if like you just want to be like, I want to be a backup receiver on the Giants, then like you'll get to play your role as a backup receiver in the Giants. And you know, they can be coaching the other team. No one like, unfortunately, as much as it would be really cool, you can't have someone like coach your team or someone else be like the running back on your team.
That would be cool, actually. That'd be
really cool.
Yeah. And I wish they could do that, but I understand where it's like, well, how do you organize that game?
So basically bring back NFL head coach, but just put it into Madden.
Well, I mean, that they basically have done that.
Okay, but add multiplayer with the coaching and yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's basically what they did, except for, again, you can't be on the same team. So that, like someone else can be playing Madden while you play NFL head coach is basically what this game is now, which is pretty cool. I think the deal is even when you're a player, you generally get to pick the plays that run.
Yeah.
So that would be a problem if someone else were on your team. But if you could be a defensive player and you could, anyway, there's a lot of stuff they haven't done and they probably won't do. But it is kind of interesting. Even if you're just playing a normal franchise, as long as you have a solid internet connection, and don't have it pop out in the middle of what you're doing, there's no real downside to it. It just saves everything to the server. And then you can, whenever you're not at home, you can log in to their site and like, make trades and like upgrade your players and coaches and like go through all your stats and stuff. It's a pretty cool way to look through stuff in much the same way that people play like fantasy football. Like I want to manage my roster and stuff like that. You can do that with your Madden team, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Also, you can play fantasy football through Madden again, but no one needs to do that. It's not like it's not a good thing to do.
So I mean, In terms of Maddens, I'm sure you've played many Maddens.
I've played most Maddens.
Maddens.
I wish we had Brad and Sean here to help fill out my knowledge. I play at least every other year, and sometimes I play NCAA or something like that. Yeah.
So is this a solid step up for the franchise? Or is this kind of just more like stagnant?
It's a step up. As I said in the review, the thing about Maddens is they generally revamp the engine every few years.
Yeah,
And this is a year they've revamped the engine, and as a result,
they like, don't do much else with it.
They don't have like it's not the most full featured.
Okay,
but I mean, giving the step up is what people want.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where like for example, anytime there's like a generation shift, it was the worst when they went from the last generation to this generation.
Yeah, like the 360 version where they cut out like half of the game basically.
Only season mode. That was it. But then if you played like the PS2 version that same year, it was like the most full featured version you could buy because they were still on the old engine. And I hope they'll do that next year. They managed to keep a lot of the same stuff here because, I mean, I guess because they're running on the same systems and stuff like that. But the good thing is they can take this Infinity Engine and build on it for the next gen.
Yeah.
Maybe not clean slate it like they did.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's Madden.
These games are still coming out on PS2, aren't they?
They stopped that in...
I know last year it did.
Was Madden 12 the last one? Did Madden 12 come out on PS2?
I'm pretty sure Madden 12 came out on PS2. Let me check.
Yeah.
Well, research.
It did.
Okay.
It did.
Okay. I think this year this year they did not release on the PS2.
Okay.
Because they put a team on the Vita game, and generally the PS2 and the PSP development were basically the same game.
Got it.
So I think that was what they did with their
research. PS2 Madden fans, I guess it's finally time to upgrade, if you haven't already.
You're still playing ESPN NFL 2K5, and good on you.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
You're playing NFL Street 2?
That works too.
If you If you stay 5 years behind in the Maddens, they only cost $3 each.
Like a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or, you know,
I'm gonna
be 5 years behind on Maddens, just play the portable versions of Madden.
I'm gonna pop
you know,
my, my copy of Madden 2002 for the GameCube.
Oh, no.
You know, if you're really not a fan of sports games, then that's probably the best way to go about playing the series.
That is the only Madden game I own.
You must play the Maddens in order. Yeah, start with Sean Madden Football.
Fully understand the storyline. You're going to be confused if you don't play all the others.
Honestly, I just want a new Mutant League Football. That's what I want.
We need an HD remake of the Amiga game. And then we have a compilation of Madden 92, 93, 94.
Didn't one Madden a couple years back include the original Madden, like a special edition? Wasn't it like 2010?
2010 they did have like a
championship edition.
The 20th anniversary.
Yeah,
Included I think there was a playable Madden 93 or something on it for the fun of it. Yeah.
I mean, I did play Madden back on the Genesis and Super Nintendo. I played it a lot, and then it became too much like actual football, and then I stopped caring. Yeah.
Well, you know,
remember when they ported the original Madden to like every single console ever? I think it was actually on 3DO, Turbo CD, and like pretty much most of the home computers.
I don't think it came out in TurboGrafx.
What?
I don't think it came out on TurboGrafx.
No, it did. John Madden CD Football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know the 3DO was a big. I mean, Trip Hawkins went from
the
EA
3DO is like the best version of the original Madden.
Right. So there was a really nice relationship between 3DO and EA because they were like the same people at that point.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that. We need Brad around to talk about that stuff. Anyway,
if you want to play the original Madden, track down a 3DO.
You don't want to play the original Madden.
Okay. Why not? I want to go back in history.
93 is pretty solid. Go back to 93. It was they have the team names and the player names. So all
right.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So let's stop talking about Madden. hey,
I'll
Jeff.
I'm way ahead of you. Jeff.
Yes.
So
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Tell us. Playing a lot of it.
Yeah. What is that game?
It is an MMO which does not
come
with a subscription. A massively multiplayer online game.
Okay, I don't know what it says. What is this?
It is a fantasy game with no subscription fee.
Okay.
That happens 250 years after the original game.
Okay, when was the original game?
250 years ago.
2005, I believe.
It doesn't matter. It's a fantasy world.
Okay.
But you don't actually need to know much about the original game to get into this one.
Okay.
I've heard it's quite different from the original. It's more of an MMO than the original was.
Yeah, the original, most of the world was instanced.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to save on server costs, but still sort of get that community thing going.
Yeah.
But this one is more of what you would see in a current free-to-play MMO with, except that you pay for the initial game. Like it's got All of these zones are persistent and full of players, and there is a cash shop.
Cool.
So there's still, I mean, it's not technically free to play, but it still has a lot of it's like you still have to buy the game, but it's still like it's basically, you know, no cost, no monthly fee.
Yeah, it has
like a lot of the free to play trappings. Like you could still buy.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the trappings, but it's not "quote unquote freemium."
Yeah,
you don't really feel restricted by not using the cash shop, unlike a lot of games which make you feel like, wow, this is like the worst version if I don't spend money.
Yeah.
But
most of the stuff in the cash shop, it's like you can save time or whatever, or it's just like
get yourself some aviator sunglasses.
What?
Yeah, like
where?
From Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, you can buy aviator sunglasses in the cash shop.
Can I buy actual aviator glasses and they'll just mail them to me?
No.
Is it just like Amazon? Can I just buy?
I'm sure Amazon has those.
Right. Well, I'm saying, can I do that in Guild Wars though?
Well, if
is
Guild
it like
Wars
Amazon
had...
Prime? Can I just pay money and then I'd have access to like a shop? Is it like Sam's Club?
No.
Okay.
Well, if it's like the Secret World, then you'll be able to open a web browser in the game and then just go to Amazon and then buy sunglasses.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if Guild Wars 2 actually has that.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't
Jeff, did you get
Brad.
The Jeff? Did you get the regular or the collector's edition?
Digital deluxe.
Ooh. I heard they ran out of digital copies, which confused me because they're digital copies.
No.
How does that even happen? ArenaNet
closed their store because the game was essentially full.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. So
I
ran out to EB Games to get a physical copy today.
Yeah. The other night I was playing and I looked at the server list, and except for the three that they just added, every server was full and not accepting new players.
It's a fire.
I just checked this morning, and there was most of them were full. Some were high, some were medium, and I think two are low.
Yeah, they have They've reduced the cap on, or they've increased the cap for the amount of players. They've been gradually upping it as demand.
I love when that happens, though, because no matter what, you know, if there's something really popular like a website and they plan for millions of people being, you know, logging onto the site at the same time or logging onto an MMO at the same time, they're like, okay, we have all these servers, you know, we've accounted for any kind of situation. We have a lot of tech guys ready. Okay, start. And our game's broken. It's just like they can't.
Yeah.
There's never been an instance of a launch where they can handle the incoming traffic. And I love it. It's just people are too happy. And too popular to not crash it. There's just something great about that.
I've in Guild Wars 2, I've never seen a queue, and I've never seen any significant server lag.
Oh, that's awesome!
It's pretty much seamless right now.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool. As opposed to something like WoW, where they planned the servers for 1 million players, shipped 5 million copies, and I wonder why it got full.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to starting it up. I'm playing with a buddy, so I got to wait for him to get going, and then we're gonna be off.
Cool.
So I can't talk about it except about how Saturday.
Basically, as far as gameplay is concerned, it does the usual MMO thing, except they put in a few things that sort of reflect that it is a free to play game, and they aren't expecting you to send them money every month. Like, namely, you can fast travel like in a Elder Scrolls game.
That's cool.
Cool.
Because they don't really have a need to make you walk everywhere because they don't need to extend your playtime.
Interesting. Mm. And I've heard every class can heal. So there's no need to be like a healer.
There's no healer. Everyone is a healer.
Oh, cool. What class are you?
Heal thyself.
Engineer.
Oh, I want to be an engineer. Is it fun?
Yeah.
Can I?
But.
Yeah, bye. Is engineer the weakest class, Jeff? Tell me right now.
I'd find out whether
no idea.
Whether it's fun before I decide whether I want it to be.
I haven't played them all.
I didn't actually find out if it was fun. I just bought it because I'm bad like that. I've heard. I think it might be good.
So if you're an engineer, can I be a spy?
No, but the engineer does have sentry guns.
Ooh.
I do like sentry guns.
I have sentry guns, and he calls the healing turret a dispenser.
Nice.
Can I be a lancer?
Oh, that's great.
A dispenser of ass kicking. I like it.
Yeah. Can I be a lancer?
No, you can't be a lancer, Graham.
No. You can use a spear, but you can't be a lancer.
Can I be a fencer?
You can be a mesmer.
You can be a fencer in real life if you want.
Okay.
No, this game is not made by Square Enix.
Well, can't be a sentinel or a saboteur.
No,
I guess not.
No, that's
good.
Well,
looking forward to starting it up tonight.
Can I be dry bones?
No.
Graham, there's no dry bones. Sorry.
Well, Graham's interest is done. He's not getting the game now.
Yeah,
you should have lied to him and said you could do it.
Yep.
Dry bones would be an awesome class.
Yeah. I'm just waiting. It shouldn't be an Amaro one either. It should just be like, look, new to the Old Republic, dry bones. I'd pay them.
Basically, if you like MMOs already and you're looking for something new that doesn't involve paying someone money every month, I would definitely give Guild Wars 2 a look.
I enjoy things that don't involve paying people money, which I can get away with it for a lot of things.
Because it's
a problem, because I do enjoy MMOs, but the only reason I haven't played one since WoW is that they just overtake my life. So I'm gonna have to
gonna
be easy with this one.
You don't feel obligated because you're not paying for it. And
that's good. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I haven't noticed any glitches or bugs or anything that you would usually notice. Up until now, it's probably been one of the smoothest MMO releases ever.
Wasn't it in beta for like a year?
Yeah, I believe so.
So they pretty much worked out any and all kinks, which is good, though. It's good.
Yeah, I think they said it's been in development since 2006, so yeah. They've been working on it quite a while.
Yeah.
It's sort of completely under the radar. Like, there was almost no hype until it was a month from release.
Cool. All right.
Excellent.
Well, Guild Wars sounds cool. And I know you're writing up. We are attempting to review MMOs. Which is a tough thing, and Jeff and I have been talking about this, and so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of put together like a first look at the game, because you really can't encapsulate the whole experience. We'll come back later.
It's hard to put give an accurate score on an MMO with just playing for a week or so and having first 20 levels, because most of your time in a game isn't spent in the first 20 levels.
Yeah.
But look forward to that in the next couple weeks.
All right. Our topic for this week. Lately, we've been hearing a lot about, the past couple of years, basically since the launch of the 3DS, we've been hearing a lot about whether or not dedicated gaming handhelds are dead, and the rise of mobile phone games, iOS games, what have you. And recently, actually, Iwata came out and said that, you know, there's always going to be a need for dedicated handhelds because, you know, people desire deep experiences, which we cannot, you basically said you mostly cannot get those from iPhone games, which, you know, he didn't specifically say that, but he said there are games out there on iPhone that do that, but like, if you want that experience on the go, you're gonna have to turn to, you know, the 3DS or the Vita. He didn't say the Vita, of course, but
or somewhere where you can sell games for more than 99 cents.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
so he's standing his ground on this. You know, we're never gonna see, you know, Nintendo making iPhone games. Basically.
We're not gonna see that, no.
Yeah, that's never gonna happen. So I think the 3DS is doing pretty well, but then of course the Vita, not so great. I mean,
okay, so here's my opinion on it. I think there is always going to be dedicated gaming handhelds in some capacity. Now, how close they get to tablet functionality, that's another topic entirely. But I do think that the market's certainly going to shrink drastically from what we've seen so far. I mean, if any company is going to stay in the business, it's probably going to be Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have the most to lose from this.
And they're the only ones who've ever had success with a gaming handheld.
Well,
basically.
Well, yeah.
But,
I'd say
financial
success. I mean, I'd say Sony had with PSP. I'd say that was a moderate success for them. I mean, it didn't do nearly as well as they thought and everyone else thought it would.
It was a success for them in Japan, and still is, because it still outsells the Vita.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a Monster Hunter machine, which the 3DS is going to soon become a Monster Hunter machine. So the Vita kind of is screwed out of that, but you know.
Well, the thing about Sony is that they already started testing the waters of Android gaming because, well, they're Sony. They have phones and tablets and stuff, and they can do that. So even if the Vita fails, then they're probably still going to have a shot in mobile gaming. But Nintendo, there's no way they do something like that. So they're going to, even if they have to force it, they're going to stay in the market. Now, Apple and Google really haven't done anything about, and they're really not serious about mobile gaming as it stands. They're just, you know, letting it happen. They're letting developers do whatever they want. If Apple or Google really did try and start getting serious about this sort of thing, then I think there could be some serious problems for Nintendo and Sony.
Yeah. I think they'll only have problems if Apple and Google come out with a mobile device with
buttons.
Game controls on it.
Yeah,
imagine this. Apple, say what you want about Apple's products, but they have a really uncanny ability to take any technology they want and shove it into the forefront of the consumer public.
Yeah.
I mean, they started with smartphones. They really push tablets, and that really paid off for them. Imagine if they really started pushing like an Apple branded controller, a Bluetooth controller, and that would obviously be catch on as a standard for game developers for those platforms.
Right.
So,
and I think it's important to point out that Apple, the reason they have success, and especially the reason why they're having a lot more success in the App Store than any sort of Android devices, is how standardized their stuff is. So, like, you know, you talk to a lot of Android developers, and they're just like, well, we have to develop, and then, like, for each of these devices. So, and it's so fragmented. So, like, for example, why the Xperia Play didn't take the world by storm. Because, yeah, you know, like 18,000 people bought one of those or something like that.
The trouble with Android is that there are usually about four or five different flavors of the system software.
Right.
Just out in the wild at any one time. Like,
literally flavors, because they had named them off after foods.
Yep.
Like, like mine has ice cream sandwich on it. Yeah. I know people whose their device is a little bit older and can't run it, so they have the previous version, and it just goes on like that. So there's not just one operating system. There's about four or five.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Nintendo's going to stay around, and obviously, I mean, I think any argument that says that in the near future they're going to be doing apps or third party anything is really short-sighted. You know, basically they could contract to just like, okay, we're going to sell Nintendo stuff and we'll be fine, and they will be like,
yeah, they could,
like, GameCube era Nintendo.
They could sell
consoles and make a profit at it, selling only first party products.
Right.
Yeah. I know mobile gaming and games on your iPhone have a place, which is fine. Everyone's getting really excited about them in the last couple of years because they've gone from nothing to, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And whenever anything's new, everyone sort of says, oh, well, this is the future. But I don't buy that. I don't see handheld gaming, and I certainly don't see, like, dedicated, more in-depth games going away because there are these little flash games you can play on your phone. Yeah. I don't get any kind of emotional experience or really all that much fun with iPhone games. I play Words with Friends when I'm, like, waiting in line at the bank, and that's about it. I'm not going to play a 60-hour RPG. I'm certainly not going to play a first-person shooter on my iPhone. So I'm not their target market. I get that. But at the same time, for them to say, like, oh, well, since apps and iOS games have grown in the last couple of years, then that obviously means that that's the future.
Well, that's not true.
I mean, the radio's still around. TV's been out for 50 years.
It just finds its actual purpose and no longer becomes the multi-purpose thing. Right.
Yeah. Well, let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. And now, everyone's saying that big epic experiences that are normally reserved for home consoles and handhelds can't be done on these mobile devices.
No, Chris, I agree with you. There have been some very good games on, like, iOS.
It's entirely possible to bring that stuff to mobile platforms.
I mean, didn't that new Final Fantasy game just come out in the iOS? I think Final Fantasy. I don't know anything about it.
I would say it's possible. I just don't want it. I don't want to watch a movie on my phone because I want to watch it on my big, 52-inch TV. Well, I don't want to spend 60 hours playing this big in-depth game on my phone. I'm sure they can. I'm sure there are good games for the iPhone. I know there are.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Sorry for interrupting, but what would be the difference between playing Final Fantasy on your phone, tiny screen, and
worse controls?
Yeah.
Is it really that much better than an even tinier and worse DS screen?
That's a good point. I mean, the screens for the handhelds are a little, I would say they're at least twice as big in general, three times.
Well, but I guess with tablets, you have two of them.
It's also controls though, right? Because I don't like the whole touch thing, the D-pad. Yeah. They still haven't found a good D-pad.
Right. And no one's like, let's just be clear. No virtual D-pad and button setup is ever as good as a real thing and will never
be.
But if developers embrace the platform, like before Sorcery came to the PC, and I still think the mobile version is probably better just because it's natural for that. Like, that was a top quality game experience.
Oh yeah, definitely.
On like iPhone and iPad to begin with, but I think that the casual stuff, the Angry Birds, Infinity Blade, even Hero Academy to a certain extent, like it's not the same category of things, but there have been good mobile.
It's good for the industry too. I shouldn't say that I don't want it to succeed, because honestly, for us as video game, you know, enthusiasts, we want everything to succeed.
Right.
It's just the more you know, yeah, investors are going to say, oh, all these people like video games, there'll just be more games made, and therefore more good experiences available out there. So I don't want iOS gaming to fail, but I don't want, you know, dedicated handhelds and consoles to. I don't want them to fail even more. And I don't think there's any reason why they can't coexist. I mean, as we've seen, the 3DS is now picking up steam. It's outsold the DS, yeah, you know, for the time period that I think it launched.
Yeah, I think so it's somewhere around 18 million right now, something like that.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. So I see no evidence that people are willing to give that up.
Right.
Which is good.
It's a big difference from a year ago when everyone was talking about how the 3DS is failing, it has no games,
I,
and now it's
I never
18
heard
million
that
sold.
They always say it had a bad launch. Almost every console has a bad launch.
Yeah.
Almost every one. There's never like 10 or 15 amazing games right away.
Except for maybe the GBA. GBA was pretty great.
Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Dreamcast.
I said most.
The Dreamcast launch lineup was good, but small.
Yeah.
I think the Dreamcast lineup had like 20 games, and most of them are pretty great.
But any high-tech gadget, you're going to have sales are going to be the early adopters, and it's going to be nowhere as big as the mainstream core. So you can't say that a system's going to fail based on its first year, especially when most consoles have a general life cycle of 5, maybe more years. But, so, I mean, the PS3's launch was a nightmare, and it's very successful, I would think. You can't really describe it as a failure. The 360 certainly has picked up a lot of steam. I mean, the Wii crushed it right out of the gate, but you certainly can't judge a console or a handheld based on its first 6 months.
Yeah.
No way.
Not judging a console or a handheld based on the first 6 months, let's talk about the Vita.
Vita had one of
the best launch libraries so far.
In terms of
unfortunately, nothing else.
Nothing.
I'm just gonna say, like, people who seem to think that the Vita is gonna fail. Like, I mean, again, just going off what Henry was saying, it hasn't been a great time for the system. But it doesn't mean that in a year from now will be, you know, it'll still be, you know, making the same amount of money or less. You know,
right?
The problem that the internet has is, if it's not a massive success, it is assumed to be a failure.
I think especially once the system starts gaining those, you know, more and more titles that people actually want to get a Vita for, you know, once the cross buy thing, I think is a cross play.
I know about five people waiting for Persona 4.
Yeah, there's the Persona 4.
Everyone's calling that the game that'll save the Vita,
which they're totally dumb.
Yeah, I know,
That'll sell a lot of units in Japan real quick, but
it did, actually,
Everyone who cares about Persona is talking on the internet to someone about how much they want it. Let's be honest about that. That's not a mass market game
changer. All these people, they own Persona 4 on PS2.
They do.
Yeah, I'm saying that, like, just in general, like, the Vita, the PSP, you know, again, didn't get its legs for a little while, but it never was a huge success. Like, it did well enough for Sony to continue to market it, to continue to make games for it.
And to be fair, in Japan, it was a huge success.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm talking about just in the U.S. market.
Oh, sure.
I should clarify. But, like, the Vita, again, it has a slow start as well. I'm sure in a year from now, maybe it won't reach the level of success that the PSP had, but I don't think Sony expects it to. I think Sony expects it at absolute best to be as good as the PSP did at this point, but I don't. Even if it's slightly below that, I think for them it'll still be a pretty good success.
Yeah, and I think you can probably divide. I mean, however the Vita does, so let's say it fails or doesn't sell as well as they'd hope. I don't really think you can say people don't like handhelds anymore. It's all about iOS and app gaming now, because the 3DS is killing it. So I would point to that and say, okay, well, there's evidence of Nintendo dominating the market, so I can see people would prefer the 3DS over the Vita. And, you know, maybe if apps and iOS didn't exist, then Vita sales would be slightly better. But yeah, I don't point to that and say, this is the death of the handheld. This is it. Cause there's 20 million people that own a 3DS. So that'll be after Christmas. How many more? I don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think that the iPad more than the than the or the tablet more than the phone
tablets, yeah,
will
yeah.
become more of a third platform, kind of like PC is to PS3 and 360.
But
I don't think
that.
Phones will always be sort of waiting in line for something, playing Angry Birds or whatever. I don't think they'll really compete with handhelds just because of the size of the screen and the control issues. But with the tablet, the screen is big enough that you could get a wireless controller and play a game on it.
Yeah, but okay, speaking of which, and here's a question. Let's say Apple really did release like a specific controller and like it really did catch on and like most game developers started using it. So what would be the difference between that and using a handheld?
Well,
see, now you're getting into the whole discussion of like, well, eventually there are going to be no console pages. There's going to be one thing.
Well, I think that's like an entirely different can of worms. But at the same time, again, the handheld experience is the handheld experience. You can't on the go. You cannot use a tablet and a controller, at least not that easily. You can.
Yeah. If, for example, you had an iPhone with like an attachment that puts buttons on the side.
Oh yeah, I mean those exist.
You could get, you could get like a CirclePad Pro sort of thing where you stick the tablet inside of it.
Those are never that successful, and I think
if Apple put one out and said this is the thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I get what you're saying now.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that doing better for them, and I could see that being like a real serious strive for them towards gaming. But at the same time, you know, Apple is good at like encapsulating everything. So I don't think they would want to focus on just one thing or the other. Like,
unless the thing with, especially with tablets, is the price point of a tablet, especially an Apple tablet, is just so high right now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's very expensive.
If you're looking at playing it just for video games.
Yeah. Nope.
The handheld will be cheaper every time.
I mean, again, tablets are multi-purpose, so you know no one's going to buy for just one thing. But again, I don't think if Apple came out and supported one specific thing for the iPhones or any kind of tablet devices, it wouldn't take off that much, because even if they add buttons to the side of the iPhone, you know, it's going to still seem like, you know, how many people are gonna use that as a gaming platform above anything else? It's still gonna be the device you use while you're waiting in line or in a dentist's office or at the DMV while you're just like, you know, poking things on the screen, playing Angry Birds, cut the rope, you know, things like that. I don't think it's ever gonna be. I think Iwata is kind of right. Going back to the first thing that was talked about is that there's always gonna be something else out there that kind of is for gamers above anything else. Like, Vita is still going to have all these other functionalities.
Well, yes, because Nintendo is going to continue making it.
I'm saying, but like in terms of the Vita, like that thing is going to stand apart from, even if it does have some of the functionalities of a tablet or an iPhone.
Let's talk about the Vita just purely not on financials, but on business model.
Okay.
Because I think that part's really interesting, because, you know, from Gamescom, we heard a lot about like, here's what we have for the Vita. You know, putting a lot of things on the Vita, and that's great for people who have a Vita. Like, yay, you finally get your PS1 games.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing their PlayStation Mobile thing, where you can play these games on any device, including the Vita, which is great because that means the Vita gets those games too. And then, you know, you're going to get to cross buy these PS3 games. These are all magnificent things if you own a Vita.
Yeah.
But it works against them when people are rationalizing buying one.
Yeah. It's
because,
like,
oh, well, I have my PS3, so, like, I mean, there were definitely some people who were like, I'm going to hold off getting a Vita until Sound Shapes comes out. And then, like, announce it for PS3. It's like, well, okay. Well,
I
have
a
PS3.
Yeah.
I disagree. I mean, I think it would work for Sony, because since you would have your games on more than one, since you're going to have your games on more than one platform.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying it's not a good idea.
You're going to have essentially free games when you pick up a Vita.
I am really happy that they're doing it. As someone who owns the device, I'm really happy to get that. But like, when you're thinking about, oh, well, now your Vita gets to play PlayStation Mobile games, so you get to play Android games on your Vita. At that point, once that connection is made, then I think there's definitely going to be a portion of people out there where it's like, well, if this is like what you have for me to play on the Vita, PS3 yeah. games and phone games, I have a PS3 and a phone. So
there,
what do you?
Yeah, no,
there are two ways of looking at it. It's like there aren't that many people who don't own a PS3 who want a Vita for those games, and the people that do own a PS3 and don't have a Vita, you know, being able to play those PS3 games on the go might appeal to like a small margin of people, and I'm sure it's going to do well for them. But I don't think it's not going to sell people on the Vita. The Vita needs something that's for the Vita. The Vita needs Vita games,
and I don't think it's Tearaway. I think Tearaway will be great. I don't think people are going to buy the system for that.
Yeah, Little Big Planet is a fine.
That's
going to
be really, really good too. The Little Big Planet for the Vita. I've talked about that before. That's going to be a really good game coming out this month. But
it's not going to sell people on the Vita.
Like again, I mean, there are some extra touch controls, but mainly you get to like play levels from the console and
it needs like. It does have some good exclusives, and, you know, again, it's not entirely devoid of you know, quality titles to play, but it's not...
Right.
It doesn't have... Again, to bring up the idea of a killer app, it needs something like that. And
mainly, these are great ways to flesh out the collection. It just can't be their marketing plan.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good ways for Sony to convince people who own Vitas not to sell their Vitas, which is great.
Like,
we don't need to lose more audience. We need to get the audience. No.
What it needs is what the Vita needs is Pokemon.
that's
basically
pretty lovely.
Remember what Pokemon was, the franchise for the Game Boy.
Yep.
It was it sold millions of Game Boys and Game Boy Advances.
Right.
The Vita needs its own franchise that.
So you're saying Invisimals isn't going to work out? A new Invisimals?
No.
Okay.
But something like that, something that isn't just a portable version of a PS3.
By the way, Nintendo, we're still waiting for that Pokemon MMO. Just any time now. If you ever want to make a lot of money, and
Nintendo's scared of the internet. That's never going to happen.
Keep waiting.
Dragon Quest X is doing okay in Japan right now.
I cannot think. If you can try and think up of a single idea that would make more money than a well-done Pokemon MMO, I would love to hear it, because I can't think of it right now.
My thing is, as much as I'd probably love that thing, even though I don't like MMOs, I think a large portion of the audience for Pokemon is little kids whose parents control their purchasing decisions and probably don't want their kids own MMOs.
Yeah, but parents buy what their kids want.
Yes, but
so
in the history of Nintendo, their strategy has been let's do things that make parents happy. Let's be honest about that. Friend codes, come on, friend codes.
Friend codes is
that's if we're gonna go back to the Vita needs Monster Hunter, because that's more appropriate. I think it's because if the Vita can survive in Japan, you know it's middling sales outside of Japan won't matter at all as much as they do now. Right now it's just selling not that great everywhere, but if it can conquer one market, even if it's a small market, it'll succeed in the end.
I think they're trying to do that. Like the marketing team is trying as hard as it can to do that. Like, look, we have the big franchises. Like, for example, they're putting a heavy emphasis on Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified, which if there's anything that's like the American version of Monster Hunter, it's probably Call of Duty.
Yeah, true.
And Assassin's Creed, the Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, but the problem is it's like a spin-off and like a small, not same team version. If they put the A team to making the game, you know what I'm saying? If they didn't find like, oh, well, you guys were doing back-end engine support for mobile titles, just make the next Call of Duty. Happens. Like,
you guys made Resistance Burning Skies on the Vita. That was a game, so you can make this game.
Yeah. But just reminds me of like, you know, they got like a random Australian mobile developer to do the Wii U version of Mass Effect 3. Like, okay, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess we own that company, I guess. So we should just make them do that. Like,
they're not doing anything else. So
yeah.
Why
but
not?
Like, I mean, this problem with Sony, as much as they spend a lot of money into really high quality, like big market franchises.
Yeah.
None of it has really paid off that well for them.
No, not really, for the most part.
Uncharted has, I mean, like, it has done well for them, as has God of War, but it is not Halo, it is not Call of Duty. You know, like, you always look at sales numbers, it's just like, well, that did pretty well. But it's like
that did well.
Halo
for,
versus Uncharted, for... like that's a debate that people who play games can have. But when you look at like success, it's like, that sold almost 1/6 as much. Sony,
yeah, they need something absolutely huge, because then that'll be able to supplement other, you know, other games. It's okay when you have a big franchise that makes all the money that, you know, some gamers made to cry saying like, oh, they just come out with a new Call of Duty every year. That's fine. But if the Vita has something like that, then they're going to be able to, I mean, it's just going to put more money into the system. They're going to make more games for it. It's going to expand the library and expand more people that are going to buy it. So yeah, you're totally right. They need that catalyst. They need that it factor to sort of push them over the edge.
And if Sony is proved anything this year, that they've proved that they're really good at working with companies that publish some really quality games that are not expensive and, you know, win a lot of people over. Like, look at all the PSN games that have come out this year so far.
Absolutely,
I mean, they can do that, but that stuff does not bring over new people. It just satisfies the people that are already there. So
yeah, it's
hard. It's difficult. They're in a difficult spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Sony's in a difficult spot. But yeah, anybody wanted to say anything else? We should probably wrap up this episode.
I'm good.
All right.
Same here.
I think it's short. We're not gonna see the death of dedicated gaming handhelds, but you know.
Yeah, seriously.
But also, iOS games have their place, and we're glad they're doing well.
And they'll probably continue to get better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey guys, video games are pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll probably continue to be good and maybe get better.
Hopefully.
Yay, video games. All right. All right. For Henry, Jeff, Andrew, and Chris, I'm Graham. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at Snack Bar Games.